Give me all your money and valuables, mister. And be quick about it.
No, I don't believe I will.
The would-be robber jabbed the gun in his hand towards Smoke.
I mean it!
He had stepped out of an alley a moment earlier with the old small caliber revolver. Smoke was on his way to an appointment and had taken a shortcut along a smaller street, which at the moment was practically deserted. The thief wore a threadbare suit over a grimy, collarless shirt. Smoke couldn't see the soles of the man's shoes, but he would have bet they had holes in them. The man's dark hair was lank and tangled, his face gaunt, his eyes hollow.
Opium?
What?
That's why you resorted to robbing people on the streets, so you can afford to go down to Chinatown and visit one of the opium dens.
Well, that ain't none of your business. Just give me your damn money!
No. And you'd better not try to shoot that old relic. It'll likely blow up in your hand if you do.
The man turned the gun's barrel away from Smoke to stare at the weapon. When he did that, Smoke's left hand came up and closed around the cylinder. He shoved the barrel skyward just in case the gun went off. Then, Smoke's right fist crashed into the robber's face. He flew backward. Now, Smoke was a medium-sized man, but his shoulders were broad as an axe handle, and the muscles that coated his torso were thick enough to make his clothes bulge as if the garments weren't made properly. Smoke had pulled his punch a little. The robber looked to be on the frail side, and Smoke didn't want to hit him too hard and break his neck. The man got up and charged at Smoke. His hand darted under his coat and came out clutching a short-bladed but still dangerous knife. That made things different. Smoke twisted aside as the man slashed at him with the blade. Smoke tossed the revolver aside, grabbed the man's arm with both hands while the man was off balance, and shoved down on it while bringing his knee up. The man's forearm snapped. He dropped the knife. When Smoke let go of him, he fell to his knees in the street, and he stayed there. He cradled his broken arm against his body. Smoke picked up the gun, took hold of the would-be robber's coat collar, hauled him to his feet,
move it,
and marched him stumbling along the cobblestones until he found a police officer.
Here now, what have you done to this poor fella?
This poor fella, as you call him, tried to rob me.
With his free hand, Smoke held out the gun and the knife.
He pulled this gun on me and demanded all my money and valuables. And when I took it away from him, he tried to cut me open with a knife. I'd had about enough of it by then.
Smoke shoved the would-be robber toward the officer.
His arm's broken, so he'll need some medical attention before you lock him up.
Wait a blasted minute. I'm supposed to take your word for all this.
Oh, it's true. It's true. Lock me up. Do anything you want. Just keep that crazy cowboy away from me.
Sounds like a confession to me.
Smoke started to turn away.
Hold on. At least tell me your name and where to find you so I can fill out a report.
The name's Jensen. Smoke Jensen. And my son and daughter and I are staying at the Palace Hotel.
The policeman's eyebrows rose. The Palace was the city's oldest, most luxurious, and most expensive hotel. The man standing in front of him wasn't dressed fancy. Smoke wore a simple brown tweed suit and a dark brown flat-crowned hat. But if he could afford to stay at the palace, he had to have plenty of money. Not only that, but the name was familiar. The officer recalled where he had seen it.
I thought Smoke Jensen was just a character in the dime novels.
Not hardly.
Smoke was well aware of the lurid yellowback yarns that portrayed him variously as an outlaw, a lawman, and the West's fastest and most feared gunfighter. All of those things had been true at one time or another, but the fevered scribblings of the so-called authors who cranked out those dubious tomes barely scratched the surface. These days, he was a rancher. His Sugarloaf spread back in Colorado was one of the most successful and lucrative west of the Mississippi. Hell, not to mention the wealth that had come from the gold claim he had found as a young man. He could well afford to stay at the Palace Hotel. More than likely, he could have booked an entire floor and not missed the money. Instead, he had a suite with rooms for himself, his son, Louis Arthur, and his daughter, Denise Nicole. He was on his way to meet the twins now, and he did not want to be delayed.
Is it all right for me to go on to the hotel?
Why, sure it is, Mr. Jensen. I'll tend to this miscreant. I'm sorry you ran into trouble here in our fair city.
Don't worry about it. For some reason, I tend to run into trouble just about everywhere I go.